All right, well, let's open in a word of prayer today from Proverbs chapter 2, which is the prayer we have been praying throughout this month. Lord, teach us to receive thy words and hide thy commandments with us, so that we can incline our ears unto wisdom and that we might apply our hearts unto understanding. Teach us to cry after knowledge and to lift up our voice for understanding. Show us how that we might seek after her as silver and search for her as for a hid treasure, that we might understand the fear of Yahweh, that we might find your knowledge, the knowledge of God.
Amen.
And so we have some psalm sheets out for Psalm 119. We are on Chet. I'm saying that right?
No, it's...
Oh, okay. So we should be proud of ourselves. We have gone, as we've been here every week, we have now gone through up to 57, verse 57, Psalm 119, which is a gigantic psalm. And so come next Sabbath for a new moon, we will go through all the parts that we have sung throughout this month and put them all together. Even more. So I find this to be incredibly good for learning, because there is so much you can learn in Psalm 119 on how we are to consider ourselves and how the Lord teaches us His Word and His law. And, without Psalm 119, there would be a great void in the Bible on how God's will and our will work together to do that which is good and right in His sight. And so this is to the tune of Chesterfield, or Chet. So let's start with that. So that's what we normally do for 8. So this is Psalm 119.
Thou, my sure portion, art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep thy holy word.
Free will and bound will, which are the correct opposites, in that discussion. And you see here that this is David saying, thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. And so the will of a Christian is to choose the will of God, and that's because he puts his spirit in us to do that. And we do not linger long at keeping the commandments of God. And so that's something I think we all need to meditate on and ask if our will has been matched up to the will of Christ and if his mind is in us, because that's what the Apostle Paul says, that we have the mind of Christ. And so in our regular psalm books, we have Psalm 19 and 20 in our lineup. And after next new moon, we should have some more psalms we're going to add to the list. An old favorite here.
Except the Lord
So this is ordered second in that understanding. And so let's start with 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, which is a confessional of the origin and purpose of Scripture. All Scripture is given
by the inspiration of God
and is profitable
for doctrine
and is profitable
for reproof
and is profitable
for correction
and is profitable
for instruction in righteousness,
that the man of God may be perfect,
thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So I want to note that the inspiration of God is the breath of God, literally, in the text, and that is what is the movement of the Holy Spirit and what is being referred to here. Also, on the back side, we'll have the lesson of the origin of Scripture from 2 Peter 1:15 through 21. Of course, this is a condensed version to make the statement understandable. Knowing this first,
that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation,
for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man,
but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So those are two very important things that are doctrine. They teach us how to understand the Bible. We do not look at the Bible as the will of man, which you will find most atheists, agnostics, and unfortunately a vast majority of Christian critics right now who will say, no, the Bible's just words of men. It's not really God-inspired. That's bunch of fables, and you have to be ready to know why you do not believe that. And according to Peter, we should first know that those prophecies, which is anything spoken in the Bible, Moses was a prophet, for instance, and he gave us Genesis, the prophecies of Scripture, none of that is a private interpretation. It's all applicable to one thing that's more relevant to one person than the other in the law of God, in the sense that it is applicable. And that we should understand that in old times, in past times, when God sent his holy prophets, that it was not by their will that they spoke. Isaiah did not speak by his own will, but rather he, as a holy man of God, spoke because he was actually moved by the breath of God, by the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so those are very important things to keep track of and to apply to everything that we study and that we read.
So we're going to move into Bible study now.
Right, we're going to be Psalm 18, and then after Psalm 18, we are going to go to the back of the Psalter to our
God, my strength.
Like you want to be on the wrong side of God.
Oh, my God. I'm pretty angry.
I want to be on the wrong side of the Lord. So on the back on 10, 9 and 10. For us all to run the numeral, that is at the bottom. We have a lesson from Titus 3, 4 through 7. Directly after that, on the very next page, we have an admonition and creed from Titus 3, 8 through 11. Learn this lesson of the Lord. It is,
after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared,
this is,
not by works of righteousness which we have done,
but it is,
according to his mercy he saved us,
by the
washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit,
which he pours out,
shed on us abundantly,
this is through
Jesus Christ our Savior,
that being justified by his grace,
we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God
might be careful to maintain good works.
These things are good and profitable unto men,
but avoid foolish questions
about the law,
and genealogies
about the law,
and contentions
about the law,
and strivings about the law,
for they are unprofitable
and vain.
A man that is divisive on this wise after this first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself.
Therefore let us be careful to maintain good works and strive not with the law of our God.
And so those two things are very important. They happen side by side in the book of Titus. They very much so teach us that God saves by his grace alone, by his mercy, as we had just learned about in the lesson of Matthew today, and in the lesson of Gideon, for that matter. But they also tell us that just because you have received grace through faith, that you are not devoid of good works. Rather, it leads you directly to maintaining good works, because they are good and profitable unto men. And so we are never to strive with God's law, but we are to believe all of God's law. We understand we cannot keep it all perfectly. That is understood. But if you strive or argue with the law of God, it is unprofitable. So, we'll end here with a prayer. The Christian has one prepared for us.
Yeah, I didn't write one up, but I'll pray that. Dear God, thank you for another day of your grace and mercy. Thank you for that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for the Sabbath, Father. Thank you for providing work throughout the week. And, Lord, just please help us not to be lazy, but to work hard. And then when Sabbath comes around, help us to enjoy it. Thank you for the edification of your word. I pray that you'd edify us even more, increase our knowledge and understanding even more. Lord, help us to be like Matthew and like Gideon as well, and all the other people of faith that you mentioned in your Holy Scriptures. Lord, help us to guide us in the paths towards the publicans and sinners that you're drawing to yourself, Lord, and help us to speak words of your Son Jesus Christ towards them. And Lord, help us to have discernment in that for those that you are drawing and those that you resist. And Lord, thank you for this time of fellowship together. Food that we're about to eat. Thank you for the fruit of the earth, God. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Also, before I have everybody here, just remember next noon we are teaching Pentecost, which will be, as you mentioned, the fruits of the earth will be a celebration of our crops, which doesn't take a whole lot of discernment to realize that the earth is in full bloom right now.
Yeah, that's
I thought I would mention that.
All right.